Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone. Welcome back to Quran 30 for 30. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We are joined by Sheikh Abdullah Duro as always, and for the first time on Quran 30 for 30, alhamdulillah, Dr. Shadi Al Masri.
Kif halak, Sheikh? Alhamdulillah.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for having me.
Alhamdulillah, man. I'm between like the two, like Muslim masculinity, like guys, man. Like y'all both Zalaam, have your man. Podcast going, mashallah. Sheikh Abdullah's got Iman Cave. Sheikh Shadi, you got Safina Society, mashallah, and Safina Society does great work. You all have.
Thank you so much.
You got a lot of great podcasts as well. How are you doing, Sheikh?
Alhamdulillah, very good. Very good. It's great to have you guys here in Jersey.
Allah yabarakfika, man. It's good to be with you, Sheikh. So, like, I haven't done like jokes for a while, right? But it's because we got Safina Society. So it's like, you know, like my thing with my kids, I know our kids are the same age, alhamdulillah. So, Sheikh Abdullah's got like 20 kids, man. So, he's got four, alhamdulillah. But,
Kids
joke. Kids joke would be about ships. Yeah. Right? So why didn't the you both can answer this?
Okay.
You don't, why didn't the captain get a new hat?
Why didn't he get a new hat?
It's a little tough one.
You know these things that there's always a word that connects to something. Right? That's
you're
how it is.
Close. Using your PhD well, mashallah.
Yeah. Yeah. Why didn't he get a new hat? What's the catchword there? What's the answer?
Because he was afraid of capsizing.
Capsizing. Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one.
Well, I just have to get some.
You know, those are our daughters are probably on the same Riddle website. Riddle.com.
They are.
Right?
Riddle.
That's what it is.
They are.
Riddle.com or something.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, inshallah.
Inshallah, ta'ala. We'll go ahead and get started. Alhamdulillah.
I think you had another question.
Yeah, I'm going to do that right now. So just for the question for yesterday, inshallah, for yesterday's juz, Surah Al-Anfal, why was it named Al-Anfal and what was it revealed in regards to? So go ahead and answer, inshallah, ta'ala, in the chat. And inshallah, we come to juz 12 now, alhamdulillah, which is, I think, the juz that many people start looking forward to. Surah Yusuf, and one of the things that we spoke about when preparing for this episode in particular is that many people focus on the person of Yusuf alayhi salam and the story of Yusuf alayhi salam and how magnificent the story of Yusuf alayhi salam with Yaqub alayhi salam is. We want to talk about the lessons and the comparisons of Yusuf alayhi salam, and that's going to be something that we're going to reflect on. And before Yusuf comes Surah Hud. And so I want you to pay attention to verses 9, 10, and 11 of Surah Hud, and think about this. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَلَئِنْ أَذَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنَّا رَحْمَةً ثُمَّ نَزَعْنَاهَا مِنْهُ إِنَّهُ لَيَأُوسٌ كَفُورٌ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if we give people a taste of our mercy, a taste of our mercy, and then we take it away from them, then they suddenly become utterly desperate and ungrateful. And Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah ta'ala has a beautiful tafsir of this ayah. But he mentions how it refers to the past, the present, and the future. He says that this person who is in this situation, إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُ شِدَّةً بَعْدَ نِعْمَةً when he's struck with a hardship after a ni'mah, then he has in its place, yes, he has hopelessness and desperation. And he has all types of hopelessness in regards to that which is to come. So he has no hope whatsoever in regards to the future. And he meets the present and the past with kufr and juhud, with disbelief and anger. So he neither looks at his future with any hope, nor does he look at his past or his present with any type of gratitude. SubhanAllah. So there's a lens towards time here that comes to this type of person. When Allah Azza wa Jal gives you a taste of your mercy and then takes it away from you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَئِنْ أَذَقْنَاهُ نَعْمَاءَ بَعْدَ ضَرَّاءَ that when we give that person a taste of blessing, prosperity after that person was touched with adversity, then at that point, لَيَقُولَنَّ ذَهَبَ السَّيِّئَاتُ عَنِّي إِنَّهُ لَفَرِحٌ فَخُورٌ He says at that point that all of my hardships are gone, all of my pain is gone, and he becomes prideful and boastful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ كَبِيرٌ Except for those who patiently endure and they do good deeds, it is they who will have forgiveness and a mighty reward. SubhanAllah, compare this characterization to Yusuf alayhi salam. He is literally the opposite of those bad qualities. He neither looks to his past or his present with kufr and juhud, with disbelief and ingratitude, nor does he lose hope in the future, even though you can imagine Yusuf alayhi salam in the prison. This is what I think about when he's in the prison. My past is abandonment by my brothers and slavery. And my future is, Allahu A'lam, what's the future of a prisoner who's in a strange land? Wow. And subhanAllah, he looks towards his past and his present with perspective, and he looks towards his future with hope, as does Ya'qub alayhi salam. And this is the differentiator between the believer and the person who is a disbeliever, and in this situation, one who is particularly unable to appreciate the ni'mah in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls upon him to appreciate the ni'mah in those moments, and hence cannot properly perceive, as the Prophet said, جَعَلَ اللَّهُ فَقْرَهُ بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ. He has poverty between his eyes, and he has constant ingratitude and constant hardship and stubbornness and suffocation. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكًا. He has a suffocating life, whereas Yusuf alayhi salam, whether he's in the well, like think about the tightness of the well, the tightness of slavery, the tightness of the prison, he still has hope. And Allah Azza wa Jalla opens up his heart to something that is greater because he always sees with that lens of a shukr. So, Sheikh, I'll turn it over to you.
It's beautiful how you mentioned, Jazakallah khair, the lens of a shukr, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, within his predestination, he knows what was, what is, and what will be. And as some scholars have annotated, mentioned as well, وَمَا لَمْ يَكُنْ كَيْفَ يَكُنْ. And if whatever was to be, how it would be, the hypotheticals. So you look at the life of Yusuf, subhanAllah, you would not anticipate, you know, what would take place with him, how you mentioned the tightness of these physical locations. Even sometimes, if we were to face that as human beings, as bashar, as insan, we forget, we're neglectful, it could lead to something that's detrimental to our iman and to our relationships. But looking at how Yusuf alayhi salam acted at the very end of the surah, you see how he acted with his brothers. He was graceful and he was honorable with integrity. And all of that was founded in the seed of that being iman, is something that is beautiful. But all of this is in a kitab mubin. All of this is with the predestination of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why I want to capitalize on one verse, which is the first verse of this juz, Surah Hud, verse number 6, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "After a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim." وَمَا مِنْ دَابَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا كُلٌّ فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there is not a single moving creature on the earth except that Allah is responsible for providing its sustenance. He knows where it dwells and where it will permanently rest. All of this is recorded in a clear book. Three fragments that I want to capitalize on this verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala firstly negates the presence of any creature or anything that has any type of movement or crawls on the earth. He says, وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّ. This is an interesting type of negation to show that there is nothing that has any type of movement on the earth or crawls on the earth, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is its provider. And we look at the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right now. If you were to think of a name, what name would that be? We would probably think Ar-Razzaq, the provider. When we think of provision, we think of probably food and money, but even providing you with those intrinsic values, those intrinsic qualities, intellect, love, respect, all of these qualities have been provided to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah even gets a little descriptive. He says, except that it's upon Allah, it's provision, and he knows where it dwells and where it may permanently rest. مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا. There's a small difference between these two, being that the مُسْتَقَرْ is where they yastakir, where they relax, where they dwell, where they stay, where they reside, where they do not move, or where they constantly frequent. But then the mustawda is like a storage. It's where you may permanently be, or where you were for a long period of time before you move to another destination. That's why some scholars, when they mention mustawda'ha, they say the rahim. Mm-hmm. They say the child in the womb of their mother. And some of them mention the grave. Mm-hmm. So when we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about the existence of the creation is in one of these two, to where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, throughout the time of the dabba, of the creature, that it will always be provided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he knows each state, and in each state, he is the one that gives it sustenance and maintains the sustenance. And that's important to make that distinction. He is the one that initially gives you the sustenance, but he is the one that also maintains it. And that's when the manifestation of risk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, or he concludes by saying, all of this is in a clear book. All of this is in a clear book. And this is the Lawh al-Mahfuz, the preserved tablet, which is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the predestination, which is a quality of our belief And a portion of our belief is to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has knowledge and wisdom. And there is nothing that is hidden from him. لا يخفى عليه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء. There is nothing that is hidden from him on the earth or in the heavens, in the skies. And there's a beautiful statement that is mentioned by the Salihin that is mentioned in Tafsir al-Qurtubi. He mentions, he said, قال لبعضهم من أين تأكل? They asked him, where do you eat from? And they responded, الذي خلق الرحى يأتي بالطحيني. The one that created the mill is the one that comes with it flour. والذي شدق الأشداق فهو خالق الأرزاق. And the one that created the jawbones is the one that created the provisions. So Allah is al-Khaliq and al-Razik. He is the creator and the provider. He is the one that gives you the faculties and he provides you on how to use these faculties, your anatomy and your physiology. So when looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qadr from the aspect of risk, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ultimately provide. Our responsibility with that knowledge of his predestination is that he gives us the faculties and to use it in a way that is befitting for us in this life and in the next. And the ultimate manifestation of that is what we see with our beloved Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. So Sheikh, if you can take us.
Jazakallah khair, barakallah feekum. There's so many things I want to say about that, and we'll get that in the discussion portion. But now that we moved from Hud alayhi salam to Yusuf, so we start seeing that these are ahsan al-qasas, as Allah says, these are the best stories. And so ulama discussed and they said, well, which one of them is the best? And can we say one of them is the best? Because Allah did say, فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. We gave some preference over others. And so therefore, it is possible to speculate that some stories of the Qur'an, some prophets have a greater story than another. But it's all speculation. We don't know. Now, there are two stories that are dominant in the Qur'an. The story of Sayyidina Yusuf, alayhi salam, the story of Sayyidina Musa. Okay, and they're all dominant. They're dominant in different ways, which we're going to cover. But Sayyidina Yusuf is the first of Bani Israel to set foot in Egypt. Sayyidina Musa is the last to set foot out of Egypt. So therefore, there is some kind of link between the two. This is what we call wiratha. Wiratha is that you inherit the similar situation. So Musa has inherited the same situation of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, except opposite. Everything about the story of Yusuf and the story of Musa is the opposite. Okay. You're going to see how. The first one is the location. Their whole life of Yusuf alayhi salam is going from Canaan, from the land which now call Philistine, the Holy Land, to Egypt. What is the whole life of Sayyidina Musa? From Egypt to the Holy Land. Okay. Secondly, each one is dominated in the beginning by a parent. Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, of course his mother passed away, so he doesn't know his mother. Who's the parent in Sayyidina Yusuf's story? It's his father. Sayyidina Yaqub cares for him, loves for him, is watching over him. Let's go to Sayyidina Musa. He also has one parent that is dominant in his story, but it's the opposite parent. Mm. It's the mother. She's worried about him. She's the one who is crying for him. Now let's go to what happens to them. What is the first striking thing that happens to Sayyidina Yusuf? He's thrown into the well, which is water. Sayyidina Musa is thrown into water, but for opposite reasons and opposite types of water. Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam is thrown into the well to be killed slowly, and Sayyidina Musa is thrown into the river to be saved. One body of water is small and still, one body of water is vast and moving. Opposite types of water, opposite purposes of water. SubhanAllah. See, the Quran is like food, the sustenance of our body. We mix it, it becomes amazing. You don't just eat meat, salt, you mix it. Right. Likewise, the Quran, when you compare and contrast, you find this is ta'ajjub, right? You make ta'ajjub, you have to say SubhanAllah, this Khaliq, he created these complementary stories. Now look at this. Each one is adopted. They're both adopted by royalty of Egypt. One, the Aziz of Misr, is just up there. The other is the Pharaoh of Egypt. The Aziz of Misr, the reaction in the household is similar and opposite. One parent likes him and is good to him. One adopting parent is evil towards him. Sayyidina Yusuf, the Aziz, is very good to him. So Sayyidina Yusuf lost his father, Allah gave him the Aziz. But who is evil towards him? The woman of the house. Sayyidina Musa lost his mother, Allah gave him Asiya. But who's mean to him? Fir'aun.
SubhanAllah.
Fir'aun never liked him. Okay. Now both of them will exit. They will have a bad exit out of this home. Their adopting home. Both of them will have bad exit. Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam exits where? To the jail. Sayyidina Musa exits where? To Midian. Both have the same exit, but opposites. Sayyidina Yusuf's exit is tight, compacted. It's a jail cell. Sayyidina Musa, where does he go when he spends 10 years? In the open land. Okay? Opposites. Both 10 years. They both spent 10 years. Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, he has two companions in the Quran in the jail. What are they? Pagan men. Sayyidina Musa has two companions. He discovers two companions in Midian. What are they? Believing women. Opposite belief, opposite gender. Okay? Both of them are going to return to Egyptian society. Sayyidina Yusuf returns to Egyptian society, but on what premise? To do good. To help the king. Sayyidina Musa, to warn the king. To strip away his slaves. Or this illegal slavery that he has. The king, reaction is different. One king says, come to me, let me take you as my special assistant to Yusuf. Fir'aun is the opposite, makes an enemy out of him. The result, what's the result? The opposite. One saves Egypt. Egypt is saved because the king is good to the prophet, so the whole society is saved. Times Fir'aun, the king, Fir'aun is bad to Musa, so they're destroyed. Then the final mustaqarr, as you said, is opposite as well. One is buried in Egypt, lives and dies in Egypt. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam lives and dies very shortly, a short period away from the Holy Land.
Yeah, subhanAllah.
SubhanAllah, these two stories are exact. The same things are happening, but in opposite ways and complete opposite order.
Wow.
Makes you say, the Creator is one. Because when two puzzle pieces fit perfectly like this, right, day and night, then you have to say that the Creator of these stories is one.
SubhanAllah. Wow. Hakad al-Qadr, subhanAllah, the divine decree. Yeah, everything is perfectly crafted for your place. Jazakallah khair for the beautiful reflection, man, subhanAllah. And I was just thinking, like, it's always interesting when you see someone in the middle of their story, because we're talking a lot about Qadr. When you see, you know, Musa alayhi salam as a fugitive and Yusuf alayhi salam as a prisoner, what's going to end up with these two people? SubhanAllah, look where Allah Azza Jal brought them to. A place of elevation, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathered them behind our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the night of the Isra and Mi'raj.
If you also look at how their story is told, they dominate the Quran, these two stories, but how? Sayyidina Yusuf, all in one. Yeah. Sayyidina Musa, all scattered. So even the way the story is told is opposite.
SubhanAllah. And there's a benefit to that. I mean, It's important for us. I mean, at the end of the day, one of the reasons why kufr happens, and you know, talking about this in the beginning of Surah Hud, is that a person sees one aspect of their lives and they don't see the rest of those aspects. The prophets always had broad vision because they had big hearts, hearts that were connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they were never separated from Al-Latif Al-Khabir. They always knew that He was there, the one who's subtle and always aware, and that there was something that was going to happen. Whereas the other person is relegated to their circumstances in dunya. To where if you don't have iman, if you don't have belief and you're Yusuf alayhi salam, you only see the walls of the well. You only see the chains of slavery. You only see the prison bars, right? Or if you're Musa alayhi salam, you only see, you know, the life of wilderness, being cast out away from, you know, any type of safety, any type of mustaqar. Like, when does he actually have istikhrar? He never really has safety in his life, subhanAllah. He's always in motion. He's in the middle of the river. He's on the run. You know, going to Madian, he's running away from Fir'aun, he's in the desert.
40 years lost.
SubhanAllah, lost in the Exodus, right? Like, it's always on the run. There's never any istiqrar in his life. But the believer never sees just a portion. They always see the whole,
SubhanAllah. That's beautiful, man. Sheikh, you going to say something?
No, go ahead.
No, I think there's a paper written on this with Yaqeen as well, as far as uncertainty tolerance. You know, just tolerating the fact that you don't know and you're uncertain. But you move, bismillah, tawakkalta ala Allah. So it's combining that trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the uncertainty.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the epitome of trust, subhanAllah, and that you trust in Allah's qadr, you trust in the fact that He knows and I don't know.
That's amazing.
You know, and you know, I mean, I don't even want to go into the, because it'll be a whole other session, but just how you mentioned the mother and the father, amazing. The emotional, the embodiment of that emotional intelligence with the father in the ashku bathi wa husni wa Allah. Verily, I might complain, you know, my sadness, you know, and grief, I complain to Allah. But Musa, her heart was empty. You know, you just see that, and knowing that your mothers and fathers, that is present with them. And, you know, it's beautiful how you elaborated on that and just mentioning, even though they're different genders, the different situations, you'll never know the end result with that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. What's up to you is just to trust in Him.
You mentioned in your verse that a person has hardship, and then the hardship goes away, then he has blessing, the blessing's taking away, and he has a different reaction. But there is a prerequisite to that. There's a false foundation to that person, is that he is placing his own judgment upon what's good and bad. Whereas the Arif Billah never has this. The Arif Billah never makes himself the judge over what's good and bad, because he knows there are awaqib, or there are after effects of these things. So the Arif Billah, the one who puts Allah Ta'ala as the definer. So whatsoever comes, you don't assess the thing that comes to me. Loss of wealth, gaining wealth. Loss of a car, gain of a car. You look at the one who gave it.
Allahu Akbar.
So that's the difference between the one who lives in misery and the one who is never miserable. Okay, is they are not assessing what's brought to them. Right? You don't have enough knowledge to assess. You don't know enough to assess that this is good or bad. Okay. You have to assess the one who gave it. And that's why these prophets, they go through all these ups and downs. What difference does it make what comes when I know who's the giver?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If a billionaire takes you under his wing and says, you will inherit my company and all my wealth, you're going to inherit it, okay, upon death. Just do what I tell you right now. If he puts you in a jail, what difference does it make? He wants to teach you something. Mm-hmm. Either way, you're inheriting. So likewise, the Arif Billah, they know they're going to inherit Jannah if they stick to the test, right? So wherever we put here, it doesn't make a difference.
Mm-hmm. And right? You know, the Prophet ﷺ, when he says, "Ana a'rafukum wa ana a'lamukum," I'm the one who knows Allah the most.
Mm-hmm.
Another comparison in his life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his brothers threw him out. Obviously, the way that Yusuf ﷺ's brothers cast him away.
Mm-hmm.
Medina received him with, "Bring us good, we're lost, we need your help." Ta'if prior to that received him with more evil than the people that cast him aside in the first place. So there is even with the Prophet ﷺ, who is the primary recipient of these stories, these qasas, a tie-in that beautifully inspires him alayhi salatu wasalam, and gives him that thabat, gives him that firmness to go forward, because he's got like a Fir'aunic type of response in Ta'if and an Aziz type of response in Medina when he's cast aside.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam really inherits portions of both stories. Of Sayyidina Musa, he inherits from that he's the law, he's given law. But Sayyidina Yusuf was not given a law. He's the leader of a people. Sayyidina Yusuf was not necessarily the leader of a people. Of course, later on he led his people, but he was not their giver of a new law. So in this respect, he resembles Musa the most. In another respect, the result, he resembles Sayyidina Yusuf the most. And this is why he imitates the words of Musa alayhi salam when they say, "What do you think, oh people of Mecca, I'm now prevailed over you. What do you think I'm going to do?" They said, a generous brother, son of a generous brother. Right? Well, what did the Prophet say about Yusuf? That he is al-Karim ibn al-Karim ibn al-Karim. Then he used the words of Yusuf alayhi salam, okay, to forgive them. So لا تثريب عليكم اليوم قد غفرت لكم. This was the words of Yusuf alayhi salam, and he succeeds at the end, and he's unified with his people.
There's no blame upon you. May Allah forgive you.
Yeah,
same words.
Yeah, يغفر الله لكم. Sorry, but they also there's a unification with his family. Right, that Sayyidina Musa doesn't experience. So that's why there's a nasib of both in the story of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
You know, you're opening up the hearts and minds, Sheikh. So he used Yusuf al-Islam's words at the top.
Yeah.
And when he was being put to trial in Medina, what did he say? Rahim Allahu Akhi Musa.
Allah
have mercy on my brother Musa. لقد أودي بأكثر من هذا. He was tested with worse than this and he was patient.
SubhanAllah.
So he's always pulling from Musa alayhi salam and Yusuf alayhi salam, those pulls. And we have him alayhi salatu wasalam. Like we have the ultimate pull, the ultimate pull, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to pull from.
If you look at the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this is the last message for all of mankind. It has to have all the ingredients.
Okay.
Yes. The ingredients come through the trials of prophets, come an ingredient, right? So for example, the trial of Ibrahim comes an amazing ingredient. Hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakeel. The prophet has a nasib of that. He says that at Khandaq, right? Same thing's happening there. We have a nasib of, for example, Sayyidina Isa, Sayyidina Maryam, how lofty is she and why? She has amazing trial, a massive trial. She's accused. The household of the Prophet is accused, right? So you see, you can find these nasibs in even when it doesn't happen in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it happens to his ummah. So there's no Qawm Lut in the time of the Prophet, but his ummah deals with it. Like we are dealing with it now. So we have a nasib. We have no Prophet Isa as Bani Israel had, but we do. We do get Prophet Isa back as a member of the Ummah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So because this is the last, you have to parse out every single ingredient, whereas every other prophet was just for his people. So one ingredient may be, it's like almost like you're going to have one meal. Whatever that meal is, fine, it's only one meal. But if I have to pack for like a month, I need to pack every ingredient, every nutrient. And we can find that in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
That's from the wisdom of Allah that he made him Khatim al-Nabiyyin because of that, you know, and that's from the Hikmatun baligha, the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Jazakumullah khaira. This is a session that we could go on and on and on. You just inspired, I think, for all the viewers as well, all of us to inshallah ponder quite a bit. And this is that part of the Quran that we start getting into now in our reading, where the lives of the prophets really start to shine. And so this is a part where we can really, really deeply connect to those. So may Allah azza wa jalla reward you. Brings a unique sweetness to Surah Al-Kahf and Surah Maryam and everything like that. And maybe it's an assignment for the viewers as well, inshallah, to really ponder, how does this touch your life? How does it touch the life of other prophets? How does it touch the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Barakallahu fiqh, Shaykh Shadi.
JazakAllah khair. Thanks for having me.
I want to have you again next year, inshallah.
My pleasure.
You got to go on Iman Cave.
I'm excited about that.
I wasn't worthy to be invited. You got a manly man. Yeah, Shaykh Shadi, man. Invite Shaykh Shadi, inshallah. Barakallahu fiqh, Shaykh Shadi. JazakAllah khair, Shaykh Shadi.
Thank you.
Inshallah, we'll see you all tomorrow. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.